awakening to a new way of living.
Om Shanti, Namaste, and welcome to the evening and the last session of the IT conference. All of you, I believe, have been having a great time. The evening session promises the same. Now we will listen to good wishes from Brahma Kumari Yashwant Pai. BK Yashwant has been living at the Brahma Kumari's headquarters for several decades. He is also the headquarter coordinator of the Brahma Kumari's IT wing. Over to Yashwant Bhai for his good wishes.
Om Shanti. Greetings from Mount Abu, India. IT wing ki taraf se aaj aap sabka swagat hai. IT wing jo hai Rajyoga Education and Research Foundation, jo Brahma Kumaris ki sister organization hai, unki ek 20th wing hai. Hamari jaise others wing hai, Jurist wing, Media wing, Education wing, aise बहुत सारी विंग्स हैं. उसमें हमने आईटी विंग का जो थीम है कि आईटी प्रोफेशनल्स इस दुनिया में जितने भी हैं उनको हम स्पिरिचुअली कैसे एम्पावर करें, उनकी समस्याओं को कैसे हम लोग दूर करें, तो ये एक हमारा एम एंड ऑब्जेक्ट है. तो हमने 50,000 आईटी प्रोफेशनल्स को अभी तक कोर्सेस कराए हैं और इसका जो विंग का जो उद्देश्य है पूरे इंडिया में सेमिनार्स करना, वर्कशॉप करना, कॉन्फ्रेंसेस करना, रिट्रीट करना, ट्रेनिंग करना. और हमारी जो विंग है जैसे टेक्निकली सपोर्ट करना, जैसे ब्रह्म कुमारी संस्था है उसको हम पूरा इनहाउस टेक्निकल डेवलपमेंट करते हैं, तो वो एक हमारा एक उद्देश्य है. तो ये विंग की चेयरपर्सन है दीदी निर्मला जी और नेशनल कोऑर्डिनेटर है मधु दीदी कलकत्ता से हैं और पूरी हमारी आईटी टीम है पूरे इंडिया में नॉर्थ साउथ ईस्ट वेस्ट, वो टीम मिलके ये पूरा कार्य कर रही है. तो आज इसी विंग की तरफ से हमने ई कॉन्फ्रेंस रखी हुई है और इस ई कॉन्फ्रेंस का थीम बहुत अच्छा है, अवेकनिंग टू द कॉल ऑफ टाइम. माना आज जिस सिचुएशन में पूरी दुनिया खड़ी है, जो कोरोना वायरस के वजह से हम लोग सब पूरी लाइफस्टाइल ही चेंज हो गई है, जो हम लोग आज तक जीते आ रहे थे, जैसे जी रहे थे उसका पूरा लाइफ का जो स्टाइल है, जीने का तरीका ही चेंज हो गया. तो आप सब इसके बारे में तो भलीभांति जानते ही हैं. तो आईटी प्रोफेशनल्स की जिम्मेदारी इस कॉल ऑफ टाइम में बहुत बढ़ गई है, क्योंकि और कोई चारा ही नहीं है. जो डिजिटल के माध्यम से, ऑनलाइन के माध्यम से हम लोग इस आईटी को सपोर्ट कर रहे हैं, इस दुनिया की जो सिचुएशन को हम लोग सपोर्ट कर रहे हैं. तो इसीलिए आप देखा होगा कि बहुत सारी फैक्ट्रियां बंद हो गई, लेकिन आईटी फैक्ट्रीज जो आईटी कंपनीज हैं वो बंद नहीं हुई है, उसका और वर्कलोड बढ़ गया है. तो आपने देखा होगा ये ऑनलाइन वेबिनार्स कॉन्फ्रेंसेस हैं और वो कॉन्फ्रेंसेस में भी आप देखते होंगे कि हम लोग बहुत तरह से जूम है, वेबएक्स है, अलग अलग चीजों को हम लोग इसको देखते हैं. तो ये आईटी प्रोफेशनल का काम है, बैंकिंग है और ऑनलाइन ट्रांसफर्स है, ये सब आईटी का कारोबार है. तो इसको हम लोग आईटी की सेवाओं को बढ़ा रहे हैं. और ये जो कॉन्फ्रेंस की जो थीम है, इसको आप जागरूक कैसे करेंगे, अवेकनिंग कैसे करेंगे, इसको हम लोग बहुत अच्छी तरह से जानते हैं कि हमारा जो इनर पावर है वो है आत्मा के लिए और इम्यूनिटी पावर है वो शरीर के लिए. इन दोनों को हम लोग अच्छी तरह से बढ़ाएंगे तो हम इस सिचुएशन को फेस कर पाएंगे. तो इम्यूनिटी पावर तो आप सब सुन रहे हैं, देख रहे हैं, व्हाट्सएप से आप हर चीजें आपको ईमेल से, फेसबुक से मिल रही है. तो इम्यूनिटी पावर के लिए बहुत सिंपल सी बातें हैं, जैसे आयुष मंत्रालय ने काढ़ा बताया, वो काढ़े को हम लोग पीना है. और योगा बहुत जरूरी है. योगा एक ऐसी चीज है कि हम लोग एक्सरसाइज करें और शरीर की जो पावर है हम योग से भी बढ़ा सकते हैं, योग और योगा। तो योग है मेडिटेशन, और मेडिटेशन से हमारी इनर पावर बढ़ेगी। तो हमारे जो सीनियर्स हैं, जैसे हमारी जो संस्था की एडमिनिस्ट्रेटिव हेड है एडिशनल दादी रतन मोहिनी जी, फिर हमारे करुणा भाई जी हैं मीडिया चीफ हैं, डॉक्टर निर्मला जी चेयरपर्सन आईटी विंग, मधु दीदी नेशनल कोऑर्डिनेटर आईटी विंग, और हमारी जो स्पीकर्स हैं जैसे जयंती दीदी लंदन, सुदेश दीदी जर्मनी, डेनिस बेन अमेरिका, चार्ली भाई ऑस्ट्रेलिया, केन भाई ब्राजील, और हमारे जो दूसरे इंडिया से हैं दीपा बेन, राधिका बेन, मोहित गुप्ता, और हमारे की पर्सन है बालाकिशोर जी। तो इसके साथ हमारे जो भी टीम है इस आईई कॉन्फ्रेंस के पीछे, जिन्होंने बहुत दिन रात सेल्फलेसली वॉलेंटरली सेवाएं की हैं, वो पूरी टीम नाम सहित उनको भी बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद, और जितने स्पीकर्स और हमारे सीनियर्स हैं उनको भी बहुत दिल से धन्यवाद दे रहे हैं। हमारे इस ई कॉन्फ्रेंस के लिए बेस्ट विशेष दे रहे हैं बीके शशिन शाह, जो यूके में एक बहुत बड़ी कंपनी चला रहे हैं आईटी के तरफ से, और हमारी ये जो ई कॉन्फ्रेंस है इसका जो मेन प्लेटफॉर्म है अवेकनिंग टीवी चैनल, जो सैटेलाइट से और डिजिटल माध्यम से आप तक पहुंच रहा है। तो इसकी पूरी एंटायर टीम को बहुत दिल से धन्यवाद, और इनकी क्वालिटी से आप अब देख ही रहेंगे कि इनकी जो बहुत क्वालिटी में ये लोग ध्यान देते हैं। और हमारी शिवानी दीदी, आपको बहुत ही अच्छी रीति से इसको एक अवेकनिंग को आप उनके पहले भी सुने होंगे बहुत सारे लेक्चर्स, तो ई कॉन्फ्रेंस जो है इसमें उनका जो थीम है उनके अवेकनिंग से ही लिया हुआ है, तो उसका भी शिवानी देवी को बहुत दिल से धन्यवाद। आप सबका बहुत बहुत दिल से धन्यवाद। थैंक यू। ओम शांति।
थैंक यू सो मच यशवंत भाई फॉर योर इंस्पिरेशंस। द फर्स्ट सेशन दिस इवनिंग टॉक्स अबाउट अवेकनिंग टू योर योगी लाइफस्टाइल। We've been learning meditation over the past 3 days. These lessons in meditation have made us understand what our lifestyles can be, what meditation makes you. The word Raja Yoga just does not talk about becoming a yogi at one moment or spending a little time in meditation. It talks about practicing yoga whilst doing everything. Practicing yoga with every breath of our life. The next session is about awakening to a yogi lifestyle. That we do not become yogis for some hours, but our entire lifestyle imbibes yoga. That we become yogis in every moment of our life. To introduce you to this topic, I find pleasure in inviting BK Sister Denise. Sister Denise has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for over 45 years. She has been a broadcaster, an author, and a much sought speaker. Currently, she is based in San Francisco. Over to Sister Denise.
Om Shanti. I am very happy to be part of this conference from the Information Technology section of the Brahma Kumaris, and today I will take up the subject of awakening to a yogi lifestyle. This word awakening is very significant because it implies that although all of us in this world are aware, we are conscious, we are living, but yet there is an aspect of our consciousness, an aspect of our life in which we could say that in many ways we are rather asleep. We are operating according to norms and customs that we grew up with. We never really questioned, what we're doing, how we're thinking, how we're acting. And we are used to a world where we look for beautiful temporary pleasures to enjoy, to have fun. And then on the other side, there is this aspect of everything not working out, disappointments, we experience betrayal, we experience failure, we don't know why. And so a yogi lifestyle is in many ways an answer to all of this. Since we are a gathering of IT professionals and people who are interested in artificial intelligence, computers, our whole way of life in the past at least 20 to 30 years has become more and more dominated by computers, by electronics, and by the media, the social media especially. And so we are very much caught up in our devices. And some people, they think about it as something really rather negative. They think that it's taking us away from our essential spirituality, but actually it depends on how you look at it and it depends on how you use it. Like anything, an item of electronic equipment, a device, is very convenient for us, but the important thing we have to be awake to is our responsibility to ourselves and how we use those instruments that we are entrusted with or that we acquire in order to enhance our lifestyle. But in order to do that successfully, of course, we have to think deeply, okay, what kind of lifestyle am I leading? And since the subject is a yogi lifestyle, what is the difference between a yogi lifestyle and a lifestyle of someone who's not a yogi? And I think probably the most important element of a yogi lifestyle is discipline of time and discipline of how we interact socially, discipline of how we interact with nature, with the world around us, and our relationship with ourself, with our own soul, with the divine, with our bodies. All of this has to do with our lifestyle. Lifestyle, you can say, and you can even use the word culture. I think the word culture applies very well in this respect. So life begins when you wake up in the morning. And it is true to say that every day is like a microcosm of your life, because every day we go through a way of life which is repeated on a daily basis. Obviously, there are special days, there are special occasions, and so on, but the base of our life is how we function in general on any given day. So how does a yogi wake up in the morning? And one thing that we experience is we wake up feeling fresh. Why? Because the night before we made sure that we let the previous day go. It's so important to let go of whatever happened at the end of the day. Take a look, okay, what happened today? What was significant? What did I learn? Did I make any mistakes? Was I properly aware of what I'm doing? How was my day? And then drop the whole thing, because tomorrow is a whole new day. What time of day does a yogi wake up? Well, the early meditation that we do starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so a little bit earlier than 4 o'clock, wake up naturally and freshen up. And you may have a special place where you meditate. I live in the meditation center, so we have a room which is dedicated to meditation, and we sit there and we meditate for a good 45 minutes. And this is the time where we take power, because every day we need power. So I sit in front of the divine, in the awareness of myself as a spiritual being, to charge the battery of my soul. Just like you would charge your batteries of your device before you start your day. Usually people leave it charging overnight. But for a yogi, you charge the battery of your soul in the early morning first meditation. And then after that, you're fresh. Your brain is fresh, and the first thing we put into the brain is spiritual, inspirational material. And we think of ourselves as students, and so a yogi also fills the mind and intellect and heart and common sense with wisdom that is going to be useful through the day. And so around 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, whenever is your routine time, sit and study. And then take your breakfast and you are ready for the day. And you're already empowered, you're already feeling good about yourself, and you go into your day ready to handle whatever comes that day. One thing that's really good that yogis usually do is right at the beginning of your day, and sometimes even before that, you plan your day. Because a planned day, obviously you can deviate from your plan as needed, but if you have a plan, then you've got something to deviate from. So plan your day. What do I want to accomplish today? And a good thing for a yogi lifestyle is balance. Many of us spend a lot of time in front of computers. So plan your day in front of your computer in such a way that you take breaks. Because about 2 hours is a good period of time to sit in concentration on your work and then plan to take a break. Can have a little meditation break, or go get some fresh air, have a little drink, and change your atmosphere so that you don't get to a point where you start getting tired. And if you give yourself meditation breaks during the day, then you're topping up the charge on the battery of your soul, which has to do with your mood, how you feel about yourself, and also accumulating spiritual powers. Spiritual powers are really very useful because your day is usually got quite a few challenges in it. It could be challenges from too much to do, no time to do it. It could be challenges of other people's behavior, which interferes with your plan. It could be to do with other people making demands on you so that you have to all of a sudden do something that you didn't plan to do, but still you have to do what you did plan to do. So you have to speed up your speed of getting things done. And at the same time, there are many things which could provoke feelings of irritation or disappointment or a bit anger. Sometimes you may feel sad, you've got some sad news. And spiritual power is an inner ability which enables you to manage whatever it is that's going on that comes along as a challenge that day, and you can flex with it, manage your feelings, flex with your feelings, flex with the atmosphere, flex with any unexpected situation. You know, power outage happens, so you have to make sure that you save your data properly. All these different disciplines are, you know, part and parcel of the regularity that you introduce into your yogi lifestyle. You have a break in the middle of the day. That is also a good time to top up your meditation, have some social time, because many people spend a lot more time at work than they do at home. And especially I've noticed this with people who are working in the field of information technology. A lot of time is demanded of such professionals. And so sometimes you can get so lost in your work that you don't have human company. And so it's good in the middle of the day to just break away and have some meaningful time with your colleagues, with your friends, so that you're keeping balance, because you need balance of concentrated time, balance of solitary time for your inner work, balance of time with people, social time. And you know, it's very natural for a person to gently shift from state to state in the day. That doesn't mean that you're going up and down like a yo-yo, but a gentle shift so that you don't get stuck in just one way of being. That also is good for overall general flexibility. And a yogi knows that it's very important to take responsibility for yourself, and that includes your health. So make sure that you get some movement, that you breathe, that you move around, that you go for a walk, that you get a little bit maybe of aerobic exercise, because if you do this, then this is also preventative healthcare to make sure that you do well. And when you have a sedentary lifestyle, then movement is all the more necessary. Another thing very important about a yogi lifestyle is what you eat. You know, they say you are what you eat. Well, I'm sure you don't want to turn into a potato or a tomato, but a yogi lifestyle includes a good, tasty, pleasant, nutritious, balanced vegetarian diet. Vegetarian because, you know, when you are practicing meditation and you become a yogi, you become very sensitive. Your body starts to become more pure, and so vegetarian food is much more suitable for you. A yogi is also someone who is interested in nonviolence. And so nonviolence includes that you take care that you don't need to kill another creature just in order to eat. But there are so many good foods that are vegetarian, that are healthy, that are pure, that are really very good for your vitality, for your nutrition, for how you feel about yourself. And someone who's quite a serious yogi will actually prepare their own food, because it's all about vibrations. What kind of vibrations do you include in your food? Vibrations of peace, vibrations of balance. Every soul has its own special atmosphere, feeling, vibration, frequency, and all that goes into the atmosphere where you are. It goes into your food, it goes into your body, and all of this helps to create an overall feeling of harmony and comfort. so that even if circumstances are really very stressful, which very often they are, a yogi lifestyle is not about avoiding stress, but much more about handling stress. And in fact, because of taking that spiritual power, especially in the early morning and throughout the day, you also start to intensify your different qualities, virtues, powers. You're practicing concentration, and because of being concentrated, your intellect is working well, your memory stays good, your capacity to process new ideas, to process thought, to process complicated problems, to be inventive, to handle different kinds of challenges that appear, whether in your relations with people or in your actual work, because there's always going to be trouble. This is a given. But a yogi who has this kind of lifestyle is not afraid of trouble, because you learn flexibility, and to be fearless is a very good characteristic. Fearlessness comes with courage, and a yogi has a feeling that my yoga is with whom? My yoga is with the divine, with the supreme being, with God, and so I'm not alone. I have access to the intelligence of the wise. I have access to pure love. That beautiful feeling of peace and purity is always with me. Never feel alone. Never worry about what other people are doing. Even a yogi has this idea about the world, that the world is like a film, a three-dimensional film. All the people are actors. They all have their roles. It's fixed. I have my role. Let me get on with my role and let everybody else play their roles. No problem for me. So these are just a few ideas about awakening to a yogi lifestyle. And so may you remain awake and enjoy your yogi lifestyle. Thank you very much, and Om Shanti.
Thank you so much, Sister Denise. Indeed, a yogi lifestyle requires a timetable. We all have set our clocks, but often we see that we are out of rhythm. And Sister Denise has very rightly pointed out that what a yogi lifestyle means. How to begin our day, how to proceed with it, how to end with it, how to eat, how to drink, everything encompasses our lifestyle. And I believe it is a new way of relooking things, a new way of relooking at our own lifestyle. Thank you once again, Sister Denise. It was indeed a pleasure listening to you.
Good morning, friends. My name is Bhavesh Panchal. Today I'm going to share my experience with Brahma Kumaris. But before I do that, let me introduce myself. I work with global MNC company as a head corporate IT and digital transformation lead. My association with Brahma Kumari is quite old, around 10 years. I was introduced to Brahma Kumari through one of our relative who is also a dentist. And ever since then, my mother and my sisters are closely associated with them. But my association with them is relatively low. Recently, 3 years back, I have done a Raj Yoga meditation course with Brahma Kumaris. And ever since then, I am associated with Brahma Kumaris in whatever capacity I can do. And I have participated in a lot of voluntary activities and the help what they required. I have done my Brahma Kumari retreat conference last year at Abu Campus Shantivan, and it was an amazing experience. I went in that conference to make connect with a lot of leadership globally and India, IT sector. But when I came back, I have truly got a lot of new things and I have transformed my life. To share some of my key experience in this, on day one, I was surprised to share the stage with well-known personalities from Brahma Kumaris and with IT leadership team. And in that conference and on that dais, I have shared my experience, whatever I have learned from Brahma Kumaris, and I have won a couple of friends over there. On day one, one of the key experiences I got from digital detox session from BK brother Bala, and it was amazing. Today our life is driven by technology and technology gadgets, and we spend our entire life around them. And actually I would say that, you know, they control us, the gadgets control us. But what we learn in this particular session from brother Bala was how to decouple from the gadgets, how to reduce the usage, and how to reduce the harmful effect of these gadgets on us. I've shared this wonderful experience with my family, my colleagues, even to my bosses and my superiors, and I've tried to encourage the students and the schools to use this course and get rid of the harmful effect of digital detox. After that, I would like to share the experience from one of the session of Shivani, BK Shivani Didi. She mentioned quite easily about Satvik An creates a Satvik Man, and Satvik Man creates the thoughts. As a human being, we create so many thoughts in our mind, and our mind and our thoughts controls our entire behavior. That was a very wonderful and powerful session. And till today, I use those techniques to refine my thoughts and refine and manage my thoughts day to day. I have experienced the power of meditation during the Amrut Vela session, and I try and do practice as much as possible. That way I am a very early bird. I get up early in the morning, I do my yoga practice and a meditation every day. The way we charge our mobiles, the meditation and the early morning yoga exercise really charge our body and creates the energy for entire day. It really helps us to drive myself throughout my day and creates a new kind of experience for me. So I encourage all the people to create or maybe keep some time in the early morning for themselves and use this time for them to do the yoga and meditation, because this is really helpful. Today also, when I feel I'm very low in energy or I'm feeling powerless, I go and do a meditation for 5 or 10 minutes, and it really recharges myself. It really gives me a lot of energy and look at the situation from a different angle. Another thing I want to share with you, which is very powerful, is how to listen and being present in every conversation. And this was one of my, you know, development area, and I keep getting a feedback from my superiors that, you know, I need to do a little bit improvisation in listening area. So after coming from Brahma Kumaris, I have seen that there is a tremendous improvement in my listening capacity, and that has really helped me to improve my relationship with my peers and especially with my family members at home. That way, I can go on and on, and I can take couple of hours to share my experience. But these are few important things which I would like to share it with you, and want to encourage all of you to do this retreat once in your life. It is a really life changing experience. Om Shanti.
Thank you. Om Shanti to all the dear brothers and sisters, BK sisters and brothers, and all the participants who are attending this online webinar. I'm privileged and honored to share my experience on this platform. Rajan Mistry here from Barclays, UK. I have been associated with Brahma Kumaris for long. So basically, I'm born and brought up into a very spiritual family who has been following Brahma Kumaris for last 45 plus years. And so I had a spiritual seed since the childhood, but it's been last 4 or 5 years. I've been really active and avid follower of spirituality. I've been following the speakers like P.K. Shivani, Dr. Mohit Gupta, Dadi Janki, Brother Ken, and some of the BK spiritual leaders. I'm trying to imbibe the knowledge, virtues, values, and the knowledge which has been shared on a different platforms. I've been trying to imbibe that into my lifestyle. I've also attended multiple seminars, the IT Wing seminars in Mount Abu and Shantivan complex. Some of the learning I had from those seminars was phenomenal. I had the completely rejuvenating and the life-changing experience with those seminars. So once you attend those seminars in the Mount Abu, you kind of completely put into a different world. So people call it Satyuga. So you feel like you are in a Satyuga, completely detached from the current materialistic professional world. You go into a world which is completely spiritual. You are kind of away from your mobiles and technology and the all the personal and professional emotions and the feelings and the associations you have. You are completely detached from that. So the kind of experience you get by visiting a Mount Abu and such a spiritual retreat is a tremendously phenomenal experience you get. Unfortunately, we'll not have this retreat this year in Mount Abu due to the current situation. But still, attending this webinar online would give a really good experience to people who are attending this for the first time. So the things what I would like to share here is based on the learning and by hearing these great speakers is to have some disciplines and habits in life which can help you make a productive impact to your life. Not only a productive input, but it will also cause the positive outcome and the outcome which you are desiring or is kind of goals which you have set up for yourself. So the things what I follow from these learnings are I wake up early in the morning. I have a couple of glasses of hot water and then I start my yoga or pranayama kind of exercise. I kind of spend my time, early morning time with myself, which is like waking up early around 5 o'clock and then start this routine. Basically, by waking up early, what you can do is you can save a lot of time for yourself and you can do a lot of productive tasks in the morning. It is a kind of a me time, which is kind of you spend with yourself without interacting with anyone. The vibrations and the surrounding is also so quiet, so you can do a lot of productive tasks in the morning. The other learning I had from some of the retreats and the webinar I have attended by PK Shivani. So they call it what you reap and what you eat, that you become. So whenever I consume any kind of food or a drink or a water, I try to give my positive vibrations and thoughts to that food or a drink or a water. And then I consume it. So every time I take a glass of water, I would kind of pray. I would give a positive vibrations to it for 10-15 seconds and then I'll consume. And similar thing for any kind of a food I consume. So that is kind of a transforming wherever the food or water has come from. I kind of give that positive vibrations to that first. And then probably I consume. Now, some of the things people are going through in this COVID-19 era for last 3-4 months, people feel that it's a time where it has caused a turbulence in their life. There is a huge amount of turmoil caused by this era. But for me, I think because of these positive habits and the disciplines, I think my relationship has come out really positive. I've been really happy that I am able to spend quality time with my family and loved ones. I see that the gradual improvement into my relationship because of this positive habit. I've been attending a lot of webinars over the weekend, a lot of seminars being attended by Brahma Kumaris or the scheduled webinars by some of the BK speakers. I've been trying to attend those on Saturdays, Sundays, and that has given me a really good positive outcome for my lifestyle. The one more key information or the message I would like to give to all the people is to a lot of people would be attending from the IT and a lot of people know about all different IT tools and technology and all that. We followed a lot of applications and the tools to make a discipline or the habits. A lot of people talk about making a small habits and following it rigorously on a daily basis. The one basic change I would request everyone to make is everything starts from your thought process. And I believe, I truly believe in the karma cycle. I truly believe in the thoughts create your destiny. So whatever you do, it starts from your thoughts. So whenever you think about something, you try and assess those thoughts, whether those are positive, productive, negative, waste, what kind of thoughts you are generating. And based on that, if you have some kind of antivirus or some kind of anti-thought mechanism, which is to monitor and measure your thoughts before you start putting those thoughts into a reaction or action or into your lifestyle, you would be able to change your lifestyle completely. Because the moment you have any kind of a negative voice or thoughts which are not required, you kind of tap into your mind and say that, no, I don't want these thoughts. So then you can concentrate on a more positive and productive thoughts. The moment you have any kind of a negative feelings or vibes towards any of the individual or a colleague or any person for that matter, if you try and monitor those kind of a thoughts, and before you keep on thinking and keep on going into a vicious cycle of that, try and monitor those thoughts and try and kill those thoughts there itself, and try and read out your thinking towards the more positive and constructive thinking. That way, you would see a lot of positive impact in your lifestyle. I have tried to implement this. I've been following Awakening with Brahma Kumaris series. In UK, it comes on every morning, 6:30 a.m. I've been rigorously following that series between Suresh Oberoi and Sister Shivani. It has given me a lot of positive outcome, and I've been trying to implement this, and then I'm really able to see the positive impact into my lifestyle, not only in my personal relationship, but also in my professional relationship. And that's why I think the lot of the speakers I've been talking about, B.K. Shivani and Dr. Mohit Gupta and all those, they are very logical in terms of their dialogues and the theory or the spiritual gyan which they are sharing with all of us. So that's why I call out all the learned, educated people as well as the IT professional. I would encourage them to try this, even a small thing in their lifetime, and see the positive impact in themselves. And then they could realize whether it really makes a difference to them. Once again, thank you very much for sharing your time and giving me opportunity to share my experience on this platform. I'm privileged, honored, and humbled to share my experience. Thank you very much. Om Shanti.
Namaste. What I find remarkable about the Brahma Kumaris is the way they're able to bring together compassion and sincerity. So in almost all their activities, one finds a great deal of love for humanity and seva. The other unique thing that I have found is the way they converge science and spirituality. And therefore, the way they offer the Indic wisdom to people who come seeking for it is a very beautiful form. Thank you.
I now present you to the next topic of this evening, the philosophy of karma. What has popularly been said, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Science defines it this way, but nature has a different statement. As you sow, so shall you reap. What goes around, comes around. There are different ways that we have understood this, and yet this has been an eternal law. In ancient wisdom and in Raja Yoga, it is called as the karma philosophy. To introduce you to this lesson of meditation, I invite a speaker that I am pretty sure that all of you know very well. A person who does not need any introduction. Our next speaker is Brahma Kumari Sister Shivani. She is the recipient of the Nari Shakti Award by the Government of India, and she is the Goodwill Ambassador of the World Psychiatric Association. Sister Shivani, a renowned motivational speaker, will now speak about the karma philosophy.
Om Shanti. We all know the laws of science. We know the laws of the country we live in, the laws of the city we live in, and we call ourselves law-abiding citizens. Similarly, there are some spiritual laws. and they are like our guiding compass. And if we are aware of the spiritual law, then our every thought, intention, feeling, word and behavior will be right. Right for us, right for the people around us, and right for the situation, right for the world. One of those spiritual laws is law of karma. Very often, when something happens in life, which is not the way we wanted it to be, it could be in our career, it could be in relationships, it could be in our health, it could be something to do with a family member. The one question that pops up on the screen of the mind is, why did this happen? Why does this happen to me? Why is it that this happens to me again and again? And we look for answers. Who is responsible for what is happening to me in my life? Sometimes we blame people and situations. And when we find no one to blame here, we point the finger up there and we say, God's will. We were taught everything is happening according to God's will. Pause and check. If everything was happening according to God's will, if our destiny and the destiny of everyone on this planet was written by God, how would the world be? It would be a perfect world. It would be an equal world. Each one would have everything perfect and everyone would have everything perfect. But that's not the case. Our destiny is not always perfect and our destiny is not always equal. We also learnt as children the law of karma, that as will be my karma, so will be the consequence of the karma. The energy that I create and I radiate out, that energy will return to me. So two belief systems, that everything is happening according to God's will, or everything that's happening to me is a consequence of my karma. Most of my karmas are right, but sometimes, intentionally or unintentionally, I may have created thoughts or feelings, words or behaviors, which are not right. And therefore, my destiny is not always perfect. Each one of us has different karmas, and so our destinies are also different. And so, let's understand this law of karma, and let's not blame people, situations, or the supreme power for our destiny. We've all grown up believing everything is predestined. You know, whenever something happened, people said it was predestined. But predestined by who? So let's explore this spiritual law, the law of karma. What is karma? Karma means the thought I create, the word I speak, and the behavior I enact. Thought, word, behavior. Karma is not just word and behavior. It's thought, word, behavior. So my thoughts, words, behavior is the energy that I create. And the energy that I create radiates. It radiates to my body. It radiates to people. It radiates to situations. It radiates to nature. It radiates into the universe. It's my karma. It's the energy I create and I radiate. Situations that come to me, people's behavior, fluctuation in career or business, health fluctuations. These are energies that come to me. This is my destiny. This is the consequence of my karma. So everything that I create is my karma. Everything that happens to me is my destiny. So let's get the energy flow very, very right, because this is something which we have to be aware of always. It should be like a recording on our subconscious, aware always, so that every thought, every word, every behavior is being checked by this law. So what I create is my karma. What's happening to me is my destiny. Now I apply the law of karma here and I understand that whatever karma I create, I will have a consequence. Now, when something happens to me in my life, look at the current situation. Things are happening in our life. People are behaving a certain way. My body may give certain signals. These are things which are happening to me. Now, when something happens to me and my mind says, why did this happen? I have to answer it immediately. What is happening to me is energy that is flowing in this direction. And now I need to apply the law there. Any energy that is flowing in this direction is a return of the energy that had gone this way. This law I have to apply always. Anything that is coming to me in this direction is on its return journey. It's a return of the energy that had gone here. So when my mind says, why is this happening to me? I do not need to waste any more time and energy. Why, what, how? I immediately need to give it an answer. This, what is happening to me, is a consequence of my earlier karma. The power now is, what is going to be my present karma? Suppose someone does not behave right with you and repeatedly is not behaving the right way to you. Could be at home, could be at work. And the mind says, why are they doing this to me? Now, this is energy that is coming on the return journey. This is this way because it is their behavior. We cannot change this energy. We cannot control this energy. But we have complete choice. What is the new karma which we are going to create? So the power is in the present karma. What is coming to us is a return of a past karma. What we are creating now is going to be the present karma. And what we create now will decide our future destiny. So energy coming this way, return of past karma. Energy getting created and radiate out, present karma. And what goes out this way will come back like this as my destiny tomorrow, next year, or many, many years later. And that's why it's called predestined, which means what is going to return to me tomorrow is predestined, but predestined by me today. Today, predestined by me as per my present karma. So today, when we are creating our present karma, we need to remember we are writing the destiny of our future. Future could be 5 minutes later, but we are writing our destiny for the future. It could be 5 minutes later, it could be 50 years later, but my present karma will return with a consequence. This is awareness. Why is this happening to me? Return of past karma. Present karma, completely my choice, my responsibility. And what I choose now will again return as my future destiny. So past, present, and future, these three aspects of time are there with us in every moment. Every moment, these three aspects of time are taken care of. So we need to be very, very careful. We cannot live a life of blame, criticism, complaining. We cannot live a life of reacting to people and situations, because how people behave is their karma. How people behave is a return of my past karma. But how I will think, speak, and behave will be my present karma and my future destiny. This I need to be very clear of always. How they behave is their karma, it's a return of my past karma. How I think, feel, speak, and behave is my present karma, and it is my future destiny. So no one else can influence my destiny. It's only my thoughts, feelings, words, and behavior. My karma writes my destiny. And I have the choice to write a destiny which I want. Which I want. There is no other factor which can influence my destiny. So this is something we need to take care of always. Now, sometimes we might take care of our body every day, and then suddenly it rebounds and we come to know that we have repeat. Sometimes we feel that our every karma is right. For example, we take care of our body. Accurately, you take care of a body, and yet one day you come to know that you are suffering from a disease. And the question is, I always took such good care, So why me? Second, you may be very, very honest in your relationship with someone. Honest, caring, kind, compassionate, giving, accepting, trusting, everything perfect if you check yourself. And yet, things don't go right. Again, why me? I was right in my every karma. Similarly, could be in career, that every energy from my end is right, and yet it's not coming right from that side. Sometimes repeated efforts, success just right there, and then suddenly something goes wrong again. So this gives questions, why me? Why always me? So we need to understand this spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. And spiritual law means it's a law of the soul. Of the soul, not of the body. Suppose I do not do something right with someone today while I'm in this costume. I cheat them. I exploit them. I'm unethical in my working with them. I exploit them financially, emotionally, physically. This is all my karma. And I'm doing this in this costume. 20, 30, 40, 50 years pass. I, the soul, leave this body. They also leave their body. But my karma comes with me here. And the karmic account between the two of us. Now, sometime, somewhere, in another costume, in another relationship, we, the two souls, who will be in two different bodies, two different roles, two different relationships, we will not recognize each other. We will not remember what we have done before. But when these two souls will come together, vibrations of the past karmic account will begin. And then they will do something. They will behave in a certain way, which will not be right for me. But I will not remember why they are doing like this to me. I will believe that I am absolutely 100% right to them. Then why are they doing this to me? The why question comes because we are checking our karmic account, our karmic balance sheet, only after we entered into this costume. So in my this costume, I can say this, in my this costume, I have been perfect to them. No doubt about that. But I don't know what I've done earlier. I don't know what karmic account we both have exchanged earlier. So law of karma is not bound by the costume. It's a spiritual law. And therefore, our karma and sanskars will always be with us even after we change the costume. It's like a dress. Today, you are in a particular dress and you meet someone over a cup of coffee. A little argument, a little difference of opinion. And then you both go home. You meet each other again after a week. Both are wearing another dress. But because your first meeting ended on an argument, the second meeting will not begin on a very pleasant note. Dress has changed. But the argument was not between the two costumes, the dress. It was between the two people. Second meeting might be even more complex. Third meeting, you might not even look at each other. And this can go on, which means karmic account gets entangled each time we change a costume without having resolved it. Till in one of the costumes, both of you who had met each other 2 weeks back over a cup of coffee and had an argument, in one of the costumes, which means this physical costume, one of you decide that enough, past is past now. I will be nice to them today. Forget what happened. It was just a misunderstanding. So first meeting went wrong. Second meeting was not nice. Third meeting, you were not talking to each other. But fourth meeting, one of you decided enough. I'm going to change the way I am going to think, speak, and behave today. So one out of the two will change their present karma. And in the fourth meeting, their karmic account will change. Destiny will change. It needed only one out of the two to change their karma to change that energy exchange between the two people. Otherwise, they could have kept meeting each other every week and the karmic account would only get more and more and more and more complicated. Similarly, we have met each other. Everyone you live with, you work with, most of the people with whom you are in a close connection, most of them, you would have met them before. This is a spiritual law. You would have met them before in another costume. Now, this is this costume, not this costume, but this costume, the costume of the body. We've met before. Different roles, different relationships, different costumes. Neither we remember, neither they remember. But the soul has the recording. And so sometimes you meet people and you just instantly connect with them. And you say, I don't know why, I feel very nice with this person. Some people, you say, I don't know why, I just don't feel comfortable in this person's presence. The vibrations, the karmic account energies, we can feel those vibrations. Some people are not family. They are not related to us. And yet we say, they are more than family. Some people are family. And yet we say, we just don't get along with them. So the karmic account, it is because of our past experiences with the souls that we feel this kind of a karmic connection, this energy. But now is the time to change that karmic account. Most of our karmic accounts are beautiful. Most of our karmic accounts are beautiful. But some of them need to be healed. And it's very easy to heal them only if we take responsibility that I need to change. It takes only one to change. If I change my way of thinking and feeling, I can change my karmic account with my body. Repeated illnesses, repeated. I'm radiating something from here. I change here, this will start healing. Repeated arguments, betrayal, conflict, rejection. I need to change. I can't live like a victim and say, every time this is happening to me, everyone is rejecting me, everyone is dominating me. It is something to do with my sanskar and karma. I need to change. So let's take personal responsibility. My thought, my word, my behavior, my karma writes my destiny, and I have the power to create the right karma always, independent, irrespective of what's the energy coming to me. Which means the energy going from me has nothing to do with the energy which is coming to me. Which means we are not going to react to situations and people. We will respond and create the right karma always. The only thing needed to take care is karma is not only in words and behavior. It's in our thoughts. It's in our thoughts. So check your karmic connections with everybody. Is there anyone you're not thinking right about? Deep here. Is there anyone you're not thinking right about? And not thinking right means being judgmental about them, being critical about them in your mind, in your words to other people. Please remember, it's a karma that we are creating and it's radiating to them and it's creating the karmic account and there will be a consequence of this. So let's keep our energy clean. Our energy clean. If there is any karmic account which is not very smooth right now, repeatedly, issues in a relationship, just take charge. Do not see how what they are doing, how they are speaking or behaving to you. Just focus on your karma and start radiating love, acceptance, respect, blessings. Why are they not sending nice energy to me? This is a return of my past karma. I don't know what I had done with them in the past. And past was in another costume, so I wouldn't remember. So don't try to check. Don't try to think, what did I do? I've never... You won't remember it because it's not in this costume. It's in the past. And that's why some of us, we want to go in for a past life regression to know, what did I do? But we don't need to go for a past life regression for that. We don't need to know what I did, what they did. We don't need to know. Important is, what do I have to do now? The power is not in the past. The power is in the present. What do I have to do now? So irrespective of whatever I had done in the past, irrespective of whatever they are doing to me now, I can create pure, powerful, elevated thoughts now in the present. And when I do that, my karmic account will change. My karmic account will change. I will be light. I will be calm and peaceful. I will radiate positive energy to my body. It will give me health. I will radiate blessings to them. It will resolve my conflict. And I will radiate very, very peaceful vibrations into the environment. And I will create a shift in the world. That is what one shift in karma, that's how much it can benefit me. So at every step, this law of karma, this spiritual law, has to be like a compass with us. So each time you want to take a decision, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I speak this way or that way? Should I be nice to them? Should I be rude to them? But they've been rude to me. Why should I be nice to them? Sometimes even people around us will say, you don't have to be so nice. You don't have to forgive every time. They will take advantage of you. That is their karma. That is their advice. I need to check what is right for me. Please take care. Every karma comes with a consequence. The way we work, the way we earn money, is the first karma we create. We need to take care that where we are working, with whom we are working, and for whom we are working, we need to be very clean in our mind for everybody, because that's the place from where the money is coming into my house. Money is not just currency. Money is vibration. And the vibration of the money needs to be very, very pure, because that money gives my family a home, nourishes my children, my family with the meals, pays for the education of my children. So everything in my family is coming with that money. And so the vibrations of that money are very important. So that's the first karma we need to take care of. Karma, that where I am working, highest standards of ethics, highest standards of ethics, not ethics decided by other people, highest standards of ethics, authenticity, transparency, clarity. Very, very important. Highest standards of honesty, transparency, ethics, clarity. Very, very clean outside. Very loyal to your organization and to your people. If you are there, you're working there the whole day, and yet inside the mind is grumbling and complaining about the place, about the people, about the work, then you are not radiating good energy to your workplace. You're not radiating good energy to the place from where you're going to get the money. And if you don't radiate good energy to the place, to the people, then the energy of the money which comes to you will not be with the best energy. If we complain, if we grumble, then the money will also come with the same vibrations. And then this money will be used to nourish your family. You will work very, very hard for your family, and yet your family may not be contented always. They will complain, we don't have enough. They will grumble, we don't want it this way. And you will feel, I do so much for them, and yet they have reasons to complain and grumble. Why like this? Because of the vibration of the money that's coming into the house. So it's very, very important. Our karmas are interconnected. So the money we earn, then the food we eat, how we take care of our mind and body, and then how we think, speak, and behave with people. At every step, we are writing our destiny. Sitting and just talking about people, discussing their weaknesses, talking about their issues and problems, this is not time pass. This is not harmless gossip. This is deep, deep, deep negative karma, because we are radiating negative energy to them. Energy going out, energy will return. At every step, we need to take care. My karma is writing the destiny, and my karma is influencing the destiny of my family. So let money come with a lot of blessings. Let food be pure. Pure food, sattvic food, vegetarian food, not food which is, we know what we're talking about. Food with the energy of pain. Food with the energy of violence and death. Food exploiting someone to give ourselves health. What karma would it be? What vibrations would it be for us and our family? So pure sattvic vegetarian food cooked in a very, very elevated state of mind, eaten in a very, very pure and powerful state of mind is our good karma with the food. Then our relationships, of course, we know. To create this right karma always, to think, feel, speak, behave right always, we need to strengthen ourselves spiritually on a daily basis. And that's the role of spirituality. Often we find ourselves saying, I don't need spirituality. It's too soon. I can do it later on in my life. Or I don't have time for spirituality. Spirituality is that compass. Spirituality is that power. Spirituality is that charging, which will allow us to create the right karma always, and which will give us the strength to face the consequences of our past karma in a very, very dignified manner in the present, settling the past karmic account, creating the right present karma, and securing the future destiny. So spiritual power, which means dedicating at least an hour to ourselves every morning to nourish the mind with spiritual study, and therefore spiritual study, the divine content going in, which nourishes the mind to create the right karma. And meditation means connecting to the higher power, God, the ocean of power, divinity, purity, peace and love. Connection, a personal relationship with God, gives strength to the soul to implement the right karma. Spiritual study gives us the knowledge of right karma. Meditation gives us the power to implement the right karma. Often, we know what's the right thing to do, but we say, I wanted to do that way, but this is what happened. So it's not just enough to know what is right, what is wrong. We need to have the strength to implement the right. So that's where meditation. So spiritual study and meditation, an hour every morning for self-care, spiritual power, energizing the self, just an hour every morning will give us the strength to create right karmas throughout the day. Even if destiny, which means energy coming to us, is not the best always. Even if the destiny is not perfect always, your life will be perfect, because life is not what is happening to you. Life is how you are responding to what is happening to you, and your response is your present karma, and your present karma is energized by God's knowledge and power. So if present karma is perfect, life is perfect. Life is beautiful, because life is based on present karma, not on the destiny created by the past karma. So the power is in the now. It's in the now. It's in the present karma. Let's take a few minutes and let's check any one karmic account which we need to heal, need to forgive, need to let go. It was not their fault. It was a consequence of my past karma. It's my past karmic account. Take a moment. Look at yourself. I, the soul on a journey. Come to the center of the forehead and visualize yourself. Tiny point of light. I, the soul on a journey. Many costumes, many interactions, many, many karmic accounts. Now I'm in this costume. I am the creator of my every thought, intention, feeling, word and behavior. My every karma is accurate. Bring on the screen of your mind a relationship, a person with whom you want to heal your karmic account. See them there, a soul. A soul you had met before. This is not the first time I'm meeting them. We've met before. We had a karmic connection. Today is a carry forward of that karmic connection. I want to change that karmic account today. Let's give them a strong message. Past is past. It's over. I'm sorry for what I had done in the past. I don't remember. I'm sorry for what I had done in the past. I begin a new karmic connection today. God's knowledge, love and power is a part of my personality now. I radiate this energy to you. My every thought, word, feel is a blessing. It's an energy of love, acceptance and respect. This moment, I begin a new, beautiful karmic account. A new destiny. I am the creator of my destiny. Om Shanti.
Some of us have always understood karma. Some of us have understood it as a concept. But when it comes to practical application, applying it to one's own life, we now understand what our actions do, the reactions that we see, is nothing but the fruit of our action. Thank you so much, Sister Shivani, for sharing those insights. And I believe all of you would understand this new perspective of the karma philosophy. And we will apply it in our day-to-day dealings. Thank you once again for joining us. Our next speaker is Brahma Kumar Shashin Bhai. Shashin is a fellow of the British Computer Society. He is also one of the founding members of the Brahma Kumaris Global IT team. Over to Shashin for his good wishes for this conference.
Om Shanti and a very warm welcome to all my fellow IT professionals and brothers and sisters attending this retreat with the theme of awakening to the call of time. My name is Shashin Shah. I have been working in IT for almost 40 years. I live in London and have been fortunate to be associated with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years, and I'm a kin practitioner of Raja Yoga meditation. I'm part of a worldwide group of IT professionals who practice meditation on a daily basis, as taught by the Brahma Kumaris. In our group, we have people who work for the most largest global systems integration companies, well-known brands and SMEs, acting in roles spanning across the entire spectrum, covering CXOs, VPs, directors, delivery teams, and support teams. The IT retreat you are attending is one of the services this group provides in order to help all our fellow IT professionals to be better equipped to handle the challenges we all face. Over the course of this retreat, you will learn new ways of thinking, new ways of working, new ways of leading, and new ways of living. You'll receive the introduction to the soul and supreme soul, the divine source of truth, love, and compassion. You'll also understand the importance of self-respect and how to develop that. You'll also get to understand what are the 8 powers and how do we develop them. These are wide-ranging powers, such as tolerance, cooperation, discrimination, accommodation, power to face, the positions as well to tackle any adversity in our life. You'll also gain a deeper understanding of karma philosophy and how we can declutter the mind. Over 40 years, these techniques and tools have certainly helped me better understand myself, others, and the complex world around me, and how to navigate all of that so that I'm able to take care of myself on all levels and make a positive contribution to my immediate family, people who work with me, and the broader human family. Most importantly, I have learned how to harness the power of thoughts, time, and whatever talents we are blessed with for the benefit of the self and humanity and nature. I know you'll enjoy the next few days. Some of the concepts will be new, but I hope you'll approach them with an open mind, set and experiment with these, and I'm sure new horizons and possibilities will emerge for you to learn how to embrace and thrive in the midst of all certainties, uncertainties around us. I wish you well, and I hope one day we can meet and exchange experiences, and I look forward to getting feedback on the retreat. Best wishes and good luck to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Shashin, for your good wishes. Would you like to know simple and yet effective techniques of increasing efficiency in everything we do? I believe all of us would like that. But there is so much clutter that we have gathered around us. Even when we want to do simple things, we would have to navigate through this clutter. And of course, it is tiresome. What happens in the mind? Have we seen how much of trash do we have in the mind? Is there clutter here? Do we find it difficult to navigate inside as well? Our next session is about decluttering the mind. What, why, and how of decluttering? To understand this, we have our next speaker. May I now invite Balakishore. Balakishore has been an IT professional over many decades. He currently serves as the Vice President Transformation at Sears Technologies. He is also an accomplished wellness coach. Over to him for the last topic for the day, decluttering the mind.
Om Shanti. I hope all of you are taking benefit of the wonderful sessions as a part of online conference Awakening to the Call of Time by the IT wing of Brahmakumaris. Today, I'm going to share with you some insights about decluttering the mind. I'm not going to clutter with too much information, so I'm going to share with you just 3 things. What is decluttering? Why we need to declutter our mind? And how we can declutter our mind? Just 3 things. What, why, and how. What is decluttering? Let me give you a simple example. Try to read this. Now, try reading this. Which one was easier? The first one or the second one? Naturally, the second one. Why? It was easier because it had more clarity. And that clarity is the result of the space that was introduced between the words. And that space helped you to reduce the amount of effort that you spend in reading exact same text. I haven't changed a single letter. I just introduced some empty space. And then you saw how easy it was for you to read the text. And the amount of energy you spent also dropped down drastically. Today, we are leading our lives like that first slide. Absolutely no gap. Completely cluttered with lot of things back to back. And when we introduce that space, that is when we start decluttering our mind, you saw one, clarity improves. 2, you start spending less energy for doing exactly the same kind of work. And that space is what we call as meditation. And that space is what helps us to think slow, think less, and think better. Three most important aspects of decluttering. Think slow, think less, think better. That was about what is decluttering. Now, why do we need to declutter our mind? On the physical plane, with respect to physical body, you know that if we eat more than we spend our energy to do some actions, over time we start becoming overweight. And if that continues, we become obese. And today, whether you like it or not, almost all of us have become digitally obese. Initially there was information, then there was information overload, and now we reached a stage of digital obesity. Like the physical obesity that gives rise to many cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, blood pressure, and many other lifestyle related diseases, this digital obesity is also causing a lot of mental health issues. Anxiety, confusion, directionlessness, worry, not feeling good about yourself. And there are many, many such things. Depression, suicidal tendencies. These are some of the mental health issues that are the result of digital obesity. So it's your choice. If you want to keep cluttering your mind, not give any space whatsoever, continue to consume all sorts of digital stuff and a lot of other information, not just through digital devices, but even through other devices. It can be newspapers, it can be television, it can be speaking with others, whatever may be the sources. If you continuously keep consuming that kind of information, it's going to clutter your mind. And once it gets cluttered, as you have noted, you have to spend more time, more energy to do exactly the same piece of work. More than ever, with the explosion of data, information, you take any subject, any area, there is an explosion, loads and loads of information available. If we are not careful, that information can overwhelm us. It's basically like a deluge. But if you want to protect yourself, if you want to save your energy, if you want to become mentally strong, then we need to learn to declutter our mind. So the third component, how do I declutter my mind? Comparing it with the physical health aspect that we just discussed, if you want to reduce your weight, you not only need to exercise, you also need to have a control on what you are consuming. So, first principle of decluttering is watch what you are feeding your mind. Let that emotional diet that you are feeding your mind be nutritious. That is, let it be positive, empowering, and life-affirming. Try to create your emotional diet chart. Try to audit from morning till night. What kind of information are you consuming? And what kind of words are you hearing or listening? What kind of words you are speaking? Audit this just for one day. And then you will realize there is so much of that which is like the junk food. It adds a lot of calories. That is, it occupies a lot of space in my mind, but it is hardly nutritious. That is what today scientists call as malnubesity. That is, it adds a lot of calories, a lot of weight, but there is no nutrition in it. So malnutrition and obesity, it becomes malnubesity. What we are trying to consume and feed that stuck to our mind similarly is occupying a lot of space. It's cluttering our mind, but there is not much use. So the first method to declutter your mind is learn to control or first become aware of what you are consuming. And once you become aware, accept that you have the capability to transform yourself and then act in creating a disciplined plan. Second method, how I can declutter my mind. All of us speak with ourselves. Whether we know it or not, whether it is conscious or not, we are all speaking with ourselves. Even now, while you are listening, you must be thinking, yeah, that's interesting. Digital obesity, I've never heard about that. Yeah, emotional diet audit, that is also interesting. Yes, I should be doing it. Now, that conversation, those thoughts that you are having is what we call as self-talk. So, having positive and empowering self-talk with myself is another way to declutter my mind. Simple method. Next time you want to check social media or that WhatsApp message from your mobile, you can use this positive self-talk. And it's very important that you address yourself with your name. So if I were having that self-talk, I would tell Bala, you just checked your mobile 5 minutes ago. Do you think you're going to get such important message where you have to go back and then check your mobile once again? It's just 5 minutes. Relax. You can check it after another 30 minutes. Focus on what you're doing. Why do you want to keep distracting yourself? Now, this simple nudge, this few 10 or 15 seconds of self-talk will help me in not reaching out towards my mobile automatically, withhold myself and focus on what I am doing. And this positive self-talk, I need to keep having with myself at regular intervals many, many times all through the day so that I can stop myself from cluttering my mind. Very important. So the second method is positive self-talk. And the third method is when you feel that there are lots and lots of thoughts running inside your mind, the best thing for you to do is take a notebook, take a pen, and start writing your thoughts down. Very important. Don't just keep thinking, write them down, whatever the kind of thoughts are. They can be any kind of thoughts. Just write them down. You don't even have to read them again. You can throw them aside, but just write them down. Because when you start writing, because writing is slower than thinking, automatically the speed of your thinking reduces. That is, you will start thinking slow. And when the speed reduces, naturally, you will also think less, because in a given period of time, you are making less thoughts. And as you keep writing, sometimes that emotional turmoil or frustration or confusion we go through, that calms down. Research shows when you start writing your thoughts, your ability to control your emotions increases. So this is the third aspect. First, cross-checking our emotional diet and consuming less of unnecessary digital junk. Second, doing positive self-talk. Third is writing your thoughts down. And fourth is spending few minutes both in the morning and in the evening, in the nature. This is what scientists today are calling that as green therapy. spend time in the nature without any screens. No mobiles, no iPads, no laptops. Take a book, take a pen if you want to, and spend time in the nature, admiring, reflecting, watching the beauty of nature unfold in front of you. Another beautiful way to declutter our mind and relax ourselves. And check. This is another very simple way for you to keep track of your screen-free time. How much time during the day are you spending without staring at any screen? And the fifth one is meditation. Take a few minutes, both in the morning and in the evening, and spend time with yourself. Because I need my own love and attention and compassion. Meditation is that method for me to be able to spend time with myself, for myself, to make some positive, elevated, and empowering thoughts that are life enriching. Just like that, if I sit down or if I try to think, I will only get most of the time based on negative thoughts. But when I consciously sit down and consciously try to generate positive thoughts, that conscious generation of positive and empowering thoughts is called as meditation. And this is what you would have learned as a part of this conference. So I'd like to share with you two URLs. First one is bkitwing.org/digital-wellness. If you are interested in reducing your digital obesity, if you are interested in helping yourself become digitally lean and healthy, and if you are interested in increasing your own digital wellness and helping others also become digitally well and help declutter their mind, this is the page. And the second is bkitwing.org/applied-rajyoga. If you are interested in learning more about the application of Raj Yoga meditation, the art and science of meditation, then do join us for a 10-day training starting July 11th. And you can register at the second URL that you are seeing on your screen. So, let's practice meditation. Let's declutter our minds and help others declutter theirs so that we can make this world a much better place. So let's end this session with just a couple of minutes of meditation. Sit back, relax, have both feet firmly on the ground. Don't fold your arms, don't fold your legs. If you're comfortable closing your eyes, you can close your eyes, else keep your eyes open and take a deep breath. Breathe deeply and slowly. As you breathe in, observe the muscles of your stomach expand. As you breathe out, observe the muscles of your stomach contract. Even if your mind goes elsewhere, acknowledge the thought, ignore it, and gently bring your attention back to your breathing. As you relax, gently make this thought, I am peaceful, I am powerful, I am capable, I can declutter my mind. I can make time to practice meditation. I am peaceful. I am powerful. I am capable. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Bala, for introducing us to new aspects of decluttering the mind. We have, over the years, understood digital consumption. Digital consumption was one step, but we also understood what is overconsumption. And overconsumption has led to digital obesity. These are, of course, new terms for me, and many of us are also new to these terms. But once we understand these, we would also have ways to tackle them. The decluttering of mind is simple, effective, but all it requires is our participation. We should choose this new way of doing things. Awakening is the call of time, and we all have risen up to it. Over the past 3 days of this IT conference, I believe we have gathered more than what we had expected from. I hope that these 3 days have been fulfilling and enlightening for you. Thank you so much for being part of the IT conference. I have enjoyed it as much as you have. We wish to see you soon. Till then, take care and enjoy a new way of living. Namaskar, Om Shanti, and thank you.